Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Sense Conversations. I'm your host, Eric Teamer, and you are listening to the greatest show on earth. You're listening to a show that attempts to break the myth that common sense is so rare that it's a superpower. And again, I want to welcome you and hope you guys are all settled in. We're doing an hour-long show tonight, so dig in, settle in, and get ready to go. Tonight, we are talking about the power of me. And we're going to really just break it down and what I mean by that. And like I said in the promotion, I am not talking about me, the talk show host. I'm talking about understanding who we are and how to tap into potential, how to tap into our potential. All right. So just understanding me and how to make things happen. And I'm, like I said, it's not just me telling my story. It's telling your, hopefully you'll be telling your story in the process. So if you want to be a part of tonight's show, you can do that by calling in. And call in number is 917-889-2823. Again, that number is 917-889-2823. Just press 1 if you want to make a comment or have a question, and we can open up our dialogue and go from there. If you're interested, you can also be a part of tonight's conversation by joining us in the chat room. Chat room is open, and like I always say, chat room often takes a life of its own. People have a nice way of making comments, so you're invited to be a part of that conversation as well. You can also check us out on Facebook and a few other places, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me there. You can also find me on Twitter, Ain't So Common, and all those are the good places. I'll tell you later on tonight. So anyway, like I said, we are discussing that me. We are talking about me. And like I said, I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about us, you know. And the reason why I chose to go this route tonight as opposed to just going in on talking about community projects and things like that, I think that one of the things that we need to do is get into the habit of covering our bases and getting the foundation set first, and then talking about how to improve community and getting things of that nature. You know, how it affects us and how we need to make sure that it's done right. And I just think that the more we do this, the more I'm trying to figure out how to put it in the right way. The more we look at our foundation, which is us, the first place, because I've always said that in order to affect change in your community and anyone else, you have to get your house in order first. And a lot of times we are in such disarray or we're so busy that while we want to make change in our community, we are not necessarily where we need to be. So understanding who we are, what we're about, and doing that. And one of the things that I have been doing, especially with the Seeking Empowerment shows, talking about kind of understanding voice commands and, you know, your mind and your body and your spirit, getting those things in line. If you listen to most people who are talking, most of them will tell you, you know, talking about the chakras, talking about getting your energy levels right and being in a proper state of mind and being healthy. And trust me when I say I've been doing on a health kick and trying to get everything right. And it helps when you're putting those things in the order. You know, we're talking about, you know, household, dealing with family, dealing with your partner, your mate, your children, and setting examples. so that you can build on that and hopefully expound outside of that. You know, it's hard for people to follow you when your mindset is not necessarily the right side, you know, the right mindset. You know, we can talk a good game, but can we walk the same walk? So hopefully we can get all of that. You know, we can open the door to that conversation. So the power of me, the understanding me, mind, energy, whatever you want to call it, but we need to be able to recognize breakthroughs and just having our mind, you know, kind of silencing ourselves or putting ourselves down. And really what made me think about this is a conversation that I had a couple of days ago. And the person I was talking to, a wonderful sister, was talking to me. She and I were talking, and she just sent me a message, and she was saying that I have so many hats. I've lost who I am, as far as, you know, I've lost focus of who I am. And I've been a mother, I've been a grandmother, I've been, you know, friend and all these other things. And I wear so many hats. I'm no longer, I don't see me. And what I simply said in response to that was merely, all those things that you do are you. It shows that it speaks to your strength and your courage, your courageousness, your ability to multitask, multifunction in a high functioning situation on several different areas. The only thing that's missing is recognizing who you are and then making time for who you are, as opposed to saying, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm not really taking time. You're doing it. You're taking time for you. You are doing things that are right for you. You're doing things that are necessary. But you need to be able to take time to find, you know, make time for yourself. And a lot of times we're so caught up with being a parent, being a spouse, being a household, you know, the caregiver, the breadwinner, that we lose focus of what it is that you are, what you're about. And if you're a single parent, a lot of times you wear multiple hats. So you're the mom, you're the dad, you're all those things. And you're at a point where you can't, it seems as if you are not able to do these things and have time for yourself. And what I'm going to say to you tonight is, it's possible. It's possible to do these things. It's time. It's possible for us to do it. And the way we need to do that is, and the thing that I suggested with all of the hats that this person was talking about, I suggested that they create a new hat, just the me hat. Me hat requires that you purposefully take your time and devote energy towards you, towards getting yourself together, getting everything in order, and not overdoing it. You know, I guess that's the thing, to the point where you have your schedule is not necessarily where it needs to be. So if you're setting yourself up and you feel it, well, I shouldn't say you're setting yourself, but if you're feeling overwhelmed, then the best thing, you know, for you to start doing is to look at what you're doing and how you're doing it, and then figure out, how am I going to find time to do this? A lot of times it's just looking at the simple things within a relationship or within a situation, as far as within family and finding the ability to make time. Like I said, the first step is acknowledging that you need to make time. The first step is acknowledging that you have you are able to do that. I think kind of going off of the power of talking about the power of I am, talking about, you know, creating your own luck and moving into clearing your own clutter. We have to be very aware of the things that we say in regards to ourselves. And one of the things that I've known is learning the power of words and understanding the power of words. And we've had this conversation over the past couple of weeks, you know, several times, but more so understanding. And I think I want to break down a few things that were very relevant to that, like the words I can't, I won't, it's hard, you know, and we say that. I can't find time to do this. I won't be able to do this. It's just not realistic. It's hard for me to do it. I don't like, you know, words like that. I don't like, and, you know, I don't believe in, I'm going to be able to do this thing. Those things will literally stop growth. They literally block your way. When you start saying these things, your brain automatically starts to shut off opportunities for you. It closes doors. It makes it hard for you to manage these things. What I'm learning is the more we say that we can't do something, the easier it is not to do something. Or better yet, when we can't find time to do these things, or see what I mean, you know, if it doesn't work out, let's say we plan something. And when we plan something, we start to do it, and then it doesn't work out. And then the first thing you say, well, see, I told you it can't be done. And a lot of times what we don't realize, what we haven't realized is we are basically setting ourselves up to fail. So in the process of trying to take care of yourself, making time for yourself, we have to learn the power of words. We have to be able to look at the words. And like I said, things like saying, I cannot, is a command to self. You're basically telling yourself, no, you can't. You literally stop from, you know, you stop yourself from achieving these things. It's not just saying, okay, well, you know, things like losing weight or finding money. It's like I said, it's finding that time for yourself and making time for yourself and being able to put on the kneecap and doing the things that you need to do in order to put yourself up or re-energize, refresh your batteries. And a lot of times, you know, we're so caught up in saying no because we have so many we claim we have so many hats that we literally stop ourselves from moving on. And Oreo Aces is in the chat room. You might want to go check her out. She might actually talk to you. She's saying that can't breaks down to won't or don't know how. And that's true. Very true. And a lot of times we sit down and we go, I don't know how. And for a lot of times, and I've noticed that with a lot of people, when it comes to saying things like, I don't know how, a lot of times they do know, they just aren't opening their mind to it. A lot of times, and especially when it comes down to, I've seen people who need to make time for themselves, but they block themselves by saying they don't know how. Or they say that they can't. Because I can't because I have my children and my children come first. And I have to come back. My instant rebuttal is, if you don't take time for yourself and take care of yourself, who's going to be around to take care of them for you? And a lot of times they don't have an answer for that. A lot of times it's just easy to sit back and say, and that's exactly how it sounds. It just comes out, you know, jumbled fractions of words. So we have to figure out how to manage our time to where, yes, I have family responsibilities, but I also have time, you know, I have work responsibilities, I have time, but I'm making time for myself. I'm learning how to build my energy, save my energy, find pleasure in doing things. And this isn't necessarily meaning, so, you know, some people do need to get a room and they got to go away for a day or have a weekend trip. Doesn't mean that. Sometimes it's just finding minutes of time. And I read an interesting quote that was saying something to the effect that you should meditate at least 15 minutes a day. And if you're too busy for that, then you need more time to meditate. And I agree with that. I think that when we find that we're so busy, we don't have time for ourselves. We don't have time to move into an area, to read a book, to sit back, listen to some music, something that relaxes us. All of these things, we don't move into that. We lose out. So we need to start learning how to do a little bit better time management. But again, we're starting with opening the words, opening the mic. And I guess this is Dia. She finally wants to call in. Oreo Aces. I'm sorry. Oreo Aces. Hi.
You're say Dia, a.k.a. Oreo Aces. Dia gave all my government. What the hell?
I said Dia. I said Dia first, and then I said Oreo Aces. That's all I said.
Then you tried to clean it up. All you got to do is say Dia, a.k.a. Oreo Aces. You ain't have to try to clean it up.
What's going on?
Empty. Oh, everything. I'm awake.
Somebody's a little bit too hyper.
I'm actually very hyper when I want to be. I actually had two readings to do tonight. That's why I'm still awake. But anyway, I wanted to comment on, you know, basically, even though you didn't exactly say the exact words, waiting on people making time for the things that they want to do. And I guess I just wanted to comment on that a little bit because a lot of people always assume that they don't have time. Mm-hmm. And just from my life, for me being, you know, a wife, a mother, and while I don't work out in the corporate world, I work from home. I also homeschool. I also have my duties to my husband. I have my duties to my house. I have my duties to the kids outside of homeschooling and all that. You know, I just want to reiterate or introduce for those who don't know, you make time for the things you really want to do. And it's that simple. And the reason why I say it is because a lot of people that I have counseled and I have talked to, be it strangers or sometimes friends, when I really get to them and I ask them why they don't have time to do certain things that they claim they want to do, it really boils down to that they really, most of the time is, and I'm going to say most of the time, it's really that they really don't want to do it. It sounds good, but when they realize the effort they got to put towards that thing, they really don't want to do it. And I say that because I have, and I'll just use an example that was just very recent. I had someone call me. They called me out the blue. They found my number online because I do have a work number. They found the number online, and they called me out the blue. And normally I don't answer my work number. I normally let people leave a message, and I email them back because I like to track the conversation. That's just me. I like to track the conversation, so I always say leave an email and track the conversation. But this particular time, I wasn't paying too much attention, and I answered the phone, not realizing they was calling for my work number. And they were saying how they wasn't feeling well, and they was sick, and they was this, this, and that. So I gave them some suggestions of what to do, and it was like, oh, they can't get to the store, blah, blah, blah. And because they're from the area that I was originally grew up in, you know, of course, anybody, when someone tells you about an area, someone calls you from an area they grew up in, they tell you what they can and cannot do based on what's available to them. Of course, you know whether they're lying or not. Mm-hmm. So it came down to the fact that they really didn't want to do it. And this was their health. So if they really didn't want to put that much energy into their health, how could I really expect them to put that much energy into their goals, you know, or into their children or into their life, into things like that? You know, so a lot of times, you know, people come down and say they don't know how, but even when you tell them how to, you'll always find out whether they really want to do it or not, because either they're going to run with it or they'll have more excuses. And when you have goals in life, your excuses is the things that hold you back. Not what other people say, not what other people do. What you tell yourself is what holds you back. And the main thing most people always say is they don't have time. And I'm going to say that's a lie. Because a lot of times we'll come home, you know, you worked all day, yes, you're tired. But you find time to watch your favorite TV shows. if you can find time to watch your favorite TV shows, then you can find time to work on the things that it is that you really want to do. If you find time to listen to your favorite radio station, you can cut that off by an audio book while you're driving that'll teach you about what you really want to learn. So there's always time. It's not that there's no time. It's that we have to learn better time management. And sometimes it's not always about money. You know, there's a lot of things that the library, the free library, offer that we do not take advantage of. They have audio books. And most of the audio books that you cannot find in the library, if you go to the library online, wherever city you are, they should have their own online library. You can find the audio books that you're looking for that you did not find in the actual library, or the PDF of the book or whatever that you did not find in the library. You should be able to find it online. You just have to look at the time and look at where you're spending the time. You know, if you're saying you have no time, but you find time to spend with your girlfriends, your homies, you find time to go to the club and all that, that's time that you can spend it on actual working on your goal. And I know people say, you know, I need time to relax, I need to chill, this and that. But when you look at people like Bill Gates or Damon Dash or Jay-Z or whoever, they sacrifice that so-called time just to chill out and hang out so they can do what they need to do so they can get to where they're at now. So now they have all the free time to do whatever the hell it is they want when they want to. That's the only point I want to make. You can put me on mute.
Wow.
If you want to.
Wow. All of that, see, and I just let you meditate. You went into a meditative state. You don't realize that.
Hey, that wasn't a rant. Wait a minute, that was not a rant.
Did I? Oh, hey, see, I didn't say rant. I said meditative state. That's what I said.
But I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Okay, well, I agree with you, because a lot of times, and that's something that's frustrating to me. When someone calls and they what I realize is they sometimes just want to lay their problems down at your doorstep. They don't want your advice, and it gets frustrating when you start finding solutions to the problems, and they keep shooting them down, and they don't want to. And you start hearing, "I can't. It's hard. It's harder than you think. It's, you know, it's not as easy. You know, I don't think I can." You know, so you start really going into, you know, trying to get them to understand what they can and can't do. Or then I have the other one, and I move into the other phase of some of the commands that we give ourselves when we're doing this. I've heard this, and especially when I'm dealing with relationships, and it's more, and I'm starting to learn how the power of words really affect us, because I'll hear something and say, "Well, why? I'm trying. I'm really trying to learn how to do this. I'm trying." And
I hate those words. I hate the words "I'm trying."
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that when you start talking about trying, what you're doing is when you say, "I'm trying." What you're doing is you're creating a cycle for yourself where you're not really progressing. All you're doing is doing the steps over and over again. And I've seen people who we will have a conversation over a period of months, and that's their first excuse is, "I'm trying," or "I try," "I can try," "I'm going to try." And like I said, they don't understand that really in itself is blocking you. Again, the word "try" is another command word. And, you know, trying is taught, you know, it's a taught behavior that's in some situations conditional to hold the person back. And a lot of times, you can try, just keep trying. And we never see ourselves. The difference is, like you listen to motivational speakers, you don't hear them talk about try. What they say is see yourself in the moment, see yourself succeeding. And they put you, you know, put the accomplished goal in the present as opposed to not doing it. And I've had kids who will, you know, especially athletes, who go, I'm trying, coach. And it's just like, I don't want you to try. I just want you to see yourself doing it, because I don't want you to keep trying and keep committing the same issues. And again, that's why I say the same thing with relationships. I have so many, I've heard that so many times. Well, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to communicate. No, you just do it. You know, it's not as easy as you think it is. It's as easy as you want it to be. You know, and I've had people who they don't like to talk, but when they get mad, then they'll cuss you out, and they got a whole bunch of stuff to say. And to me, that's saying that you're holding everything in and allowing it to build up, so when it releases, you're releasing all of this negative energy to the point where, you know, it makes it hard to create anything positive after it. I guess that's the best thing.
Exactly. When people tell me that they're trying, but it's not, because you said a couple of things that, you know, just make my soul go, what the fuck? But when people tell me that they're trying, but it's not as easy as I think it is, I always say, well, what the fuck are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Because it, obviously, what you think about, you bring about. And while it's not that, that easy, it is that simple. So what you think about, you bring about. So if you're thinking that I'm trying, but, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, whatever, and you're listening to all types of music, all types of TV shows and conversations that reinforce that thought, then obviously you're not going to get anywhere, because it's the thought that brings about the action. And what's the other point I wanted to bring up, which I think I'm blacked it out by now. I don't remember the other thought I want to bring up. But even with the word just trying, I don't like that word. I don't like the word trying. In my household, the word trying and the word can't are not allowed, because can't always breaks down to I don't know how or I don't want to. And try, for me, when someone says I'm trying, means I want you to recognize my non-effort. Because if you're making an effort, even if you fail, then you learn what not to do. So the next time you make an effort, you know to try a different way, do something new. You know to do something that you haven't done, and this is the way not to do it. So either you're making an effort or you're sitting on your ass doing the same thing and just want somebody to recognize that you're pretending to do something that you're really not, and that you want an outcome of something that you did not put the effort or the energy into. So try and can't are two words in my household that me and my husband both agree on are not allowed ever from our kids. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to our family and friends, and that's the other thing I want to bring up. When people call you, or I should say people call me, and they call me with their problems, I really take it as a disrespect to who I am and who they think I am when they give me these things and cues and call. No one, because if I feel so, if you're a friend, you know my energy. And if I'm a friend, I know your energy. So as a friend to me, anybody who knows me will not call me with a problem they don't want to answer to. Because as a person, me and my energy, I'm not the one for empathy. I'm not the one for sympathy. I'm the one to say, okay, this is a problem. Let's figure out how to get it done and get it done. That's just my energy. So I feel so anybody who calls me with that and does not want a solution or try to find a solution does not respect me as a person. And that's totally how I feel. I'm not the one to sit there to cry and boo-hoo with you for more than 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, that's fucked up. Okay, this is what we need to do. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try that? That's just, you know, I'm not the empathy person. So I feel as though anybody who does that, and there's a lot of people out there who are just not empathetic, they're just not sympathetic, they just want to solve the problem. That is their gift. That is their nature. And a lot of times people want to go to these other people whose gift is to solve the problem and expect them to empathize, because they really don't want a solution. They just want somebody to wallow in their pity with them. And in that, you know, I get offended. I'm saying me. I get offended when people call me like that. And I really, for those people out there who do not want a solution, I really feel as though that they should call somebody else. You know, everybody knows their friends. Everybody knows their friends. So why call the person who's going to try to figure it out for you, but not do it for you, but help you figure it out what you can do? Why don't call them with the issue instead of calling that person you know is going to give you what you want? You know, it's just like it's I know why they do it, and they do it because they don't really don't they really don't they really want to pretend like they're alone. I understand they want to pretend like they're alone, that nobody understands. So when you're they're talking about it, and someone gives a solution, they want to be able to say, oh, well, it's not that easy, and have a bunch of excuses, and then try to make like that person don't understand, so they can still wallow in their pity. And then while they wallow in their pity, they call the other person who's empathetic, and then say all this other stuff to get that person's empathy to make them feel better about the situation. So I get it, but at the same time, if you truly want to grow, if you truly want to get out of that situation, you will do everything possible to do it. And it's that simple, but it's not that easy. And I say it's that simple because it's that simple of change. It's that simple of saying, I'm done with this, I'm not going to do it no more. But it's not that easy because when you truly done with a situation, you have to realize everything that affects that situation from your mindset, from the people who you are around, and sometimes those are the people that you love the most. They keep you in that same mindset that you gotta that you not maybe let go of, but you gotta distance yourself from the TV shows that you watch, from the movies that you watch, from the music that you listen to, from the environment you used to hanging out in, from the things that you hear your children say that you put in them that now that you gotta correct. Because they're only repeating what they were shown. So now you got to correct that. And correct the children from a habit, it's not easy. And I'm saying that from experience. I mean, if nothing else, children will show you the shit that you don't want to deal with about yourself. And they'll show you because children do what they see and not what they hear. So when you see them doing something, you need to know where they got it from. If it's truly from you or not, you got to correct it. But getting back to the point, because that's a little side ramble. You're not going to go on a mommy rant in a minute, but that's a little side ramble. Just seeing that, you know, you have to be willing, open enough to see all the other stuff. It's not that it's simple, but it's not that easy. And you got to come at it and correct it from every single angle of your life, from your beliefs. And that also goes into, which I don't want to go too deep into, that also goes into your religious beliefs. What are the stuff that you're telling yourself spiritually that is not working for you? You can change that. You know, and then when it comes to relationships, what is stuff that you're telling yourself, what is the stuff, I'm sorry, that you're telling yourself, because I'm a little too hype and I'm starting to stutter. What is the stuff that you're telling yourself about relationships, about your beliefs, about your children, about your life, about your job, that's not suiting you? What is the things that you keep around you that's reinforcing it? And then you go into, like, just regular images, pictures, books, vases that's connected to a person that gave something to you that also has this idea behind it. All this other stuff, like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy. But if you really, really want to do it, you'll do it. If you really want to do it, there's no excuses. You will keep doing it. You will keep putting that effort in. And even if your effort at the time looks like it fails, you have learned something new of what not to do. So the next time you put effort in it, you have more knowledge of what not to do. So now you have new ways of trying of what to do. And eventually, you're going to succeed. But most people really don't want to put in the effort. Most people are really scared of succeeding than they are of failing. Because in failing, there's some comfort. And, well, first of all, in failing, there's always friends. There's always friends in failure. There's always going to be crabs in the barrel that's happy that you're down at their level. And this is not even a racial thing. Regardless of what your race is, regardless of your religion, regardless of your creed, regardless of your nationality, regardless of the area, there's always going to be people who's happy that you're failed because it makes them feel like they're not a failure because everybody's doing this. But when you're willing to succeed, it's a totally different story. You have to put effort into that. You have to put energy into that, and you have to keep going. And even if what you're putting energy into, going to the future, that's a testimony to, okay, you tried this situation, it didn't work, let's not do this particular thing again, let's try something new. And most people don't get that. And most people don't get that when I deal with energy. When you're dealing with energy, you have, first of all, the energy that you put out is always going to come back. So if you put out all this negative energy around the thing that you want to accomplish, You have to go through that first before you can even try things or put effort into things that may possibly work for you. So when that energy comes back, you need to have enough knowledge to recognize, okay, I already said this, this, and this, and I reap what I sow. So now that I'm sowing this, I stop saying this so I can sow a new seed with my words, because your words are your seed, or like we say, word is born, word is truth, whatever you want to say, keep it 100, keep it a bean, keep it whatever they say now, it's fleek or whatever the hell they say now, it's all the same thing. Your word goes before you, and your word is what defines your actions, and then your actions determine what grows for you to reap. So you have to go through all that first, the reaping of your old words, and then once you realize this is not what you want, then you can start telling you have a new thought, and then once you have a new thought, you can put vibration through that with your new words, and then with those new words, you'll have new actions. And with those new actions, you'll have a different outcome. It's like I said, it's simple, but it's not that easy. It's very simple to get. Once you get it, it's very simple, and you're like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I get this all along? But it's not that easy when you realize all the different angles you have to do it from. Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I can see you were in a meditative, you were in a different atmosphere, in a different plane. So you just didn't, you know, everything just kind of was enough. But so note to self, don't call Dia with problems unless.
No, don't do it. Don't you dare do it. Don't do it.
But, you know, there are plenty of people that do that, and they enjoy the fact that you're willing to help solve. And like you said, there are people that are natural, you know, they will naturally attempt to solve the problem. And some people who are very comfortable mm-hmm. with the idea that I'm going to go to you and let you solve the problem, leave it at your doorstep. I'm going to go about my business. And if you don't solve the problem the way to my satisfaction, they have a pissy attitude because you didn't solve the problem.
And that's why I said I'll solve the problem, but you got to do the action. I'll tell you what to do, but yeah. I'll be damned if I do it for you. I learned that a long time ago. It ain't happening. I'll tell you what to do, but I'm not going to do it for you.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to learn is to deal with our – to make time to deal with our issues and to – if we have a support system – to be able to go, you know, utilize our support system the best way we know how without draining the support system. I guess that's the best way. So what I'll do, and I guess I can go into it now since we've got about 20 minutes left, is, you know, since we've talked about the words not to use, the words to use, and Dia did break it down, She ended up being a co-host tonight and didn't even know it. Talk on it. The power of my mind. Power activate. But when we talked about this, and I'll give you the words: I can, I am, I believe it. It is done. I can do it. I can do anything. You hear that typically with people who are. They're called optimistic. They're called go-getters. But this literally, those words promote growth. It opens up the access, the resources of your brain that look for ways to find something, you know, find a solution to an issue. They aren't limiting themselves. Again, can is a command to yourself. It allows you to open up to your wants and needs and desires and give them the opportunity to become a reality to you. In a behavior, you know, you can use it and see it as a behavior for using, you know, good words. And just like you just said, creating that mentality of creating good words. And a lot of times when we make conscious decisions to make conscious changes, certain people, certain things are no longer desirable to us. We no longer have an instant where we want to hang around these people. You know, You want to, you know, sometimes to think that, they went out?
I was saying, yes, we need to learn how to let go and understand that it's not emotional, it's not personal. It's just that where you're going at, this person is not at a vibration where they can go with you, too. We have to learn how to let go.
Exactly. And, you know, and when you know inside you can do it, your body needs to hear it. And sometimes you need to be surrounded by individuals and things that encourage that mentality. That's why you say, you know, you hear the saying like, you'll never see an eagle fly with turkeys or something like that. But, you know, or the opportunity where you hear you talk about millionaires or rich people only hang with rich people. There's a certain, it's not because, I see the poor person as is not worthy. It's because they tend to work in the same network and work on the same vibration, same mentality as these others.
Mm-hmm.
They think the same, with the same thought process. So when they move, they deal with people who think like they do. You don't want to, you don't want to say I'm a billionaire, but I hang around with a bunch of, you know, people with gambling addiction problems or who are just shopaholic. They spend their money unwisely. Most rich people, you know, don't think like that. And, I've tried to explain that. I had my cousin was looking at, I don't know if you saw the on Facebook and, you know, how videos get around. Damon Dash was on, I guess he was doing an interview on a radio show. And the radio host, he was basically, what he was saying was he was comparing a investor's mindset or entrepreneur's mindset to just, you know, an employee's mindset. And it got a little heated, but the overall gist was he was trying to say that we need to be working having a mindset of setting up things for our generation, not just for us.
Yeah.
You know, do things for you, do things so that you're working for yourself. You know, when you're working for other people, you don't have the luxury of doing, you know, you don't have the luxury of doing what you want, how you want it to be done. You have to, you know, you may love your job, but you still have to get permission to take time off, permission to, you know, to do certain things within your job. Whereas if you own your business, you don't necessarily have to take the permission. You don't have to get permission. And it went back and forth. And I think a lot of the message was missed, or a few people picked up on it. But when you start to deal with things in a certain way, you want to set yourself up. You want to create a certain mindset for yourself. And a lot of times things that you were doing before, you know, you can't quit smoking and hang around smokers all the time and wonder why it's just not working for you. It doesn't. It won't work like that. So we just have to understand that our body reacts to the words that we put. You know, words are seeds, and you plant the seed, your body will begin to nurture and grow those things depending on how you, you know, what you do and how you do it. So what is it? What is
you
the,
know?
Go ahead.
I like to use the example of the ocean. Because, you know, in the ocean you have many different fish, you have many different life forms and all that other stuff. But in the ocean, when you're trying to grow stuff on land, which would be, the ocean would be symbolism of the spiritual world, which would basically just be many different ideas, you know, many different spiritual forms who have these ideas, but nothing's really getting done. They're all in their own spiritual form. Good, bad, indifferent, they're all in the ocean. But when you want to materialize, which would be the earth, which would be the ocean meeting the earth, that ocean now turns into rivers, which means it's not everyone in the ocean that's going to go into this river. Because, for one, a whale can't swim in a river. That's one. So, and I use the whale as a representative of a person who has 1,001 ideas but no actions behind it. And when it's time to show actions, they can't show any. So this river, this whale cannot fit into the river. So now you have these rivers that's going into that's going into the earth. Now you have these rivers, and they're helping fertilize the earth and putting all the minerals in it, and certain things are growing. That's fine. But as you go deeper into the earth, which for me, deeper into earth would mean more so finalizing or being very detailed in exactly what you want to manifest. Not saying, and for example, I always give an example of a car. You know, most people just say they want a car. Excuse me, I had to belch. But instead of saying a car, they want, I'll give a car that I used to want, a Cadillac XL, which was a Cadillac that was like a more like a Jeep truck kind of combination. And, okay, so now that I finalized that's what I want, so now my river then turned into a stream or then turned into a canal. So now that my river has turned into a stream or a canal because I have finalized exactly what I want, how I want it, now everything that's in the river is not going to be able to make it to the canal because that's now a smaller stream and it's a slower flow. So now, because obviously when you deal with spirituality, the slower it is, the more it manifests. The faster it goes, the more spiritual it is. That's just a hint for most people. But anyway, now that it's in the stream or whatever, only certain things can live in the stream. So that means of things that live in the river, first of all, the things that live in the ocean can no longer live in the river. The things that live in the river can no longer live in this canal. And this canal can only produce that which it's allowed to produce because of what the earth requires in the area that it's in. So I always give that example. So that's just nature, and we are a part of nature. Then, obviously, when we have all these big and grand ideas, of course, all our friends around us, rah rah, yeah yeah yeah, all the other stuff. But once we start focusing on one idea, then naturally, people are going to flow away and stay in that ocean as we go down that river. And then once we're down that river and we start focusing more on exactly what part of that subject we want to manifest, whether it be cars, whether it be sports, whether it be economics, whether it be business, whether it be art, whether it be cooking, whatever it is, once we focus on that one area and we go from that river to that stream, more things in that stream cannot go into that river because it's a thinner flow. So naturally, they're going to be held back while you go forward. And that's just natural, but we take it to the heart so much as if, you know, it's a problem against us or maybe it's something we shouldn't do. The most things people should understand is that your gift is not the gift of everybody else, but everybody can benefit from your gift when you follow your gift. When you follow your gift, everybody's not going to follow after you because that's not their gift. If your gift is doing hair, everybody can't do hair. So the more you learn about hair, the more that your topics and your subject become different than everybody else. And because they don't know the terminology of the hair, they cannot have conversations with you because they don't understand, you know, that doing hair is a life process and it's always going to be classes. They cannot follow you where you go. So therefore, you have to go through all that. And then once you go through all that, as all life, it comes full circle. Now you can come back and you can do their hair, their children's hair. And obviously, it's always going to be somebody who's going to want to follow after you because you just set the trend. And you can do that. I can use that with any subject. I can do that with sports. I can do that with, you know, with sports, let's just say baseball, which I'm going to use baseball because that's my husband's favorite sport. You know, all of a sudden now you want to do baseball. Okay, well, you have friends who like basketball, who like soccer, who like football. But now because your focus is baseball, you have narrowed that area, and they can't communicate with you because now you have learned baseball terminology. You have learned the history of baseball. You have learned the people who are recognized in baseball. You have learned statistics, but because these other people, this is not their focus, they don't understand it, so they can't have this conversation with you. So you have to go down this river with a few people, and you have to go down the stream, sometimes brooks, sometimes canals, alone. And then once you do that, you realize you'll come full circle because now you have so much information that you come to other people who, if nothing else, they gamble, but they can trust your information because you study long enough that they know who to gamble on. Or their children find out that their children don't want to do what they're into, and their children now like baseball. They can trust your information of baseball and what to learn and how to do it and who to follow, who's the best baseball player all around, and all that. And they can listen to you. So the thing is that we've been so, and I guess this would be a meditative state, I have to admit, because obviously it's just not coming to me. But the thing is, we have been so, shut up! We have been so indoctrinated to follow the crowd and to go with the crowd and to stay in the crowd for protectiveness. We never realize that the one who blazed the crowd, who shows the crowd a new avenue, who gives the crowd options, is the one who wanted to leave the crowd to follow their own dreams, their own destiny, and then they can come back and show, hey, this is another path for us. It opens a new way for us. You know, so in that aspect, you know, you have to be able to you have to be okay with leaving people behind. And it's not personal. It's just energy. It's not personal at all. It's just energy. The more you hone into what it is that you are meant to do, the more everything's going to leave behind. And to bring the Bible, not to bring the Bible into it, but to bring the Bible into it. You know, they say the narrow path is the way. You know, broad is the path that leads to destruction. Those are the followers. But the narrow path is the way that leads to life. And the reason why it leads to life is because it's your life. Can't nobody walk that path but you. But once you walk it, you have trailblazed a path that anybody who desires that particular subject or area can at least follow your footsteps to a certain point, and they have a guideline to go by until it's that time for them to go into that particular area they're designed to go into. Everybody's unique. Everybody's different. And that's the one thing we always say, you know, I'm unique, I'm different, I'm this, this, and that. But when it's time to show that difference, all of a sudden, people want to hold back. People want to act like, oh, you know, I'm still down. I'm still hood. I was just the same old, same old. No, you were meant to be different. Each and every person was divinely appointed to be different. And if you don't believe me, look at your astrology chart. If you're a twin, look at your astrology chart and look at your twin's astrology chart. I guarantee you, y'all be different. Just because it's a minute difference, y'all will be different. Why? Because everybody is meant to be different. Everybody's meant to have a different gift. Even if both of you are hairdressers, if both of you are cooks, or both of you are basketball players, you are meant to do it in two different ways, because everybody is meant to walk their own trail, have their gift, and then bring it back, which makes a broader opening so that other people who's walking in their gift can understand that they're comfortable and they can be comfortable in their gift and showing their gift to others. But right now I'm about to go into the area where I do where I'm preaching.
And I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there. So, because I only did an hour tonight. I didn't do my 2 hours. So we got about 7 minutes left. Yeah, I know. I started to do an hour and 30. I need to catch up on some other stuff done. But anyway, so before I close out, I really want to just...
Even my dogs are disagreeing right now. Do you hear them barking?
Well,
they disagree. You should have done 2 hours.
Yeah, from now on, I'm gonna do my 2 hours. Keep doing my 2 hours, but I just needed to get it done. I didn't think. I don't know. I knew I had to get some other things done, so I wanted to go ahead and just, you know, I did want to do a message, but I didn't want to get too long. But anyway. For those
I'm
of you
giving
listening.
The old woman church.
Anyway,
you know the one where she stretch her upper, you know the one where she stretch her upper lip over her like she's making a kissy face, but it's not really a kissy face.
Ignoring this woman now. We need to make time for us. Make time for me. Give yourself the opportunity to find time to relax. Recharge yourself. You don't have to have complete time to recharge batteries to the point, you know, like some people say, I need a spa day or whatever. Sometimes it's just, you know, if you're Al Green. If you're doing the things that you need, you know, find time to do the things that you like to do. So with that, you know, I do want to make sure, and a lot of times, don't put yourself in a position where you're always saying that you can't, you won't, it's hard, you don't believe, you're a skeptic, you know, as far as, you know, whether or not it'll actually work, you know, or whether you know, you don't like it, or finding yourself saying, I'll try, or I'm trying, you know, or I can try, making bad promises to yourself, you know, or I will attempt, I will, you know, so on and so forth. what you can do is just understand that those things stop growth. They stop your whole being from gathering or gaining, in, you know, the knowledge that you may find from actually taking the time to be who you need to be, or take the time to get yourself back on track. You know, the words "I can," "I am," "I believe," "I can do it," "I can," you know, "I believe in myself," and so on and so on. Those, you know, we said it, Dia said it, you know, these words move you in a different, you know, mindset. That, you know, learning to be consciously aware of the things that you say and the things that you do. Understand that energy, vibration equals, you know, matter. Thoughts and voice equal reality. So you can actually create your own reality by thinking it, seeing it, and talking it into existence, speaking it into, literally speaking it into existence with the right words and the right mindset. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight and being a part of the show. Thank you, Dia, for sitting in, a.k.a. or, you know, Aces. yeah. Dia normally comes on at least once a month. We do Seeking Empowerment together. So tonight was I'm trying to progress the show into different mindset, you know, and this kind of works towards clearing up clutter, so, and making time for yourself and learning to get things right. So we're going to keep moving in that direction. I think next Monday we'll talk about a little bit about money and how to get some things done. I want to still stick with empowering yourself and finding things, because like I said, no matter the topic that I talk about, regardless of what I say, you know, whether it's about black people, whether it's about black community, so on and so forth, you can't do anything unless you take care of yourself and get your house in order first. So taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, getting things in order, you can't affect change in your community if you're not affecting change in your own personal life. So thank you all for listening and being a part of tonight's show. Come back Monday for a full 2 hours. It won't just be 1 hour. It won't be 1 hour 90. It'll be 4 hour. We'll be going from depends on where you, from 9 to.
You sure?
From 9
Don't
to
be
11.
Lying now.
No, I'm not lying. Not this time. Kiss me next week. I might tell a lie. I'm kidding. But if you want to be a part of Common Sense Conversations, you can do so by finding me on Facebook. Just type in Common Sense Conversations in the fan page, and you'll have access to all of our shows archived and future. You can also find me on Twitter, Ain't So Common. So get at me. Google Plus, Common Sense Conversations.
He'll be tweeting more.
Huh? I could do what?
I said this twit will start tweeting more.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will start tweeting more. You can also you can find me on, I say Google Plus, email me if you need to. Email me if you have comments or questions. CommonSenseConvo@gmail.com. Again, that's CommonSenseConvo, one word, @gmail.com. And Dia, if you can get it in 15 seconds, I give it to you. I want to hear how fast you can go. Tell people how they can reach you.
You can reach me by my website, which is OriOasis.com, OriOasis.com. You can find all my social media, my YouTube page, my books, everything from that website. Also, a reading if you desire reading. You can find all my information on my website, OriOasis.com. Ori's Oasis.
She did it. She actually did it. I'm surprised. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's our time for tonight. Have a good night. And until the next time, keep putting common sense where it ain't so common. Peace.